Our first reading is taken from the letter of James and can be found on page 227 of the New Testament part of your Bible. Chapter 3, starting at the first verse. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue. A restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of the Lord.
Matthew 12, verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6, verse 43. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Luke 10, verse 27. Love your neighbor as yourself. And by the way, don't confuse love for like. You are not being asked or expected to like everybody, which makes that command even more extraordinary and even more countercultural. You are being asked to love even if you don't like. So what have these readings got to do with today's reading from James? And why have I begun with an apparent list of random pieces of scripture? Well, some are other examples of scripture that use very similar, if not identical, analogies to support one of the key themes from today's passage, namely, no double talk. The image of plants producing appropriate fruit. And think about that really carefully. Appropriate fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But also to encourage us all to try and keep any piece of scripture that you might read today, tomorrow, and the future. Try, when you're studying it, to hold it within the overall context of the whole Bible, It will be very important to do that, and it is very, very helpful. So as we begin this talk about the tongue, let us take care to give thanks for that gift, because there are some of us who no longer have that gift of being able to use the tongue. But it doesn't stop you communicating. But if you do have the use of your tongue, it's a precious gift, as this is also a precious gift. And for tongue, please hang on to any form of communication: email, text, writing, sign language. Let's hold that on to as we go through this. I often feel it would be quite helpful, with reference to holding it within the whole context of the Bible, if we could see each book of the Bible as a chapter, which then may prove to be helpful in encouraging us to consider the themes and messages of the whole book, the Bible, whilst considering any one particular collection of verse that we might be reading at the time. After all, when reading a book, it comes quite naturally to interpret the story within a particular chapter, within the overall context of the whole book so far. So understanding this, is it likely that this passage is a health warning about the tongue being a poisonous presence within your body, an evil presence? No, it isn't. However, there is a message of love and compassion and a call to take care, great care, both of your own health and well-being and those you share your lives with. And in this world of instant worldwide communication, potentially the rest of the world, or certainly vast numbers of people who you may never have met and may never meet, but whose lives you may have a significant impact on, both for good and bad, based on your communications. The tongue, or power of communication, is clearly very powerful. Hence the imagery of the horse's bit and the ship's rudder. And if you like, hang on to this analogy, because afterwards, take a look at how tiny the keys are on that organ. And yet, one tiny key with the right stops can shake this building. It's still the same thing. We clearly need to take great care. Hence the reference to the forest fire. A careless word spoken in the heat of the moment can either cause long-lasting damage to relationships or set a chain of events that run painfully out of control. And how much do we know this? Moments of great rhetoric are behind some of the most significant world-changing events in history. But, and it is a big but, both for great good and great and terrible harm and destruction. Great rhetoric is proof of the power of communication, but it is the inspiration and the source of the rhetoric that delivers either healing, compassion, a force for good, or terrible division and pain. The rhetoric is the window to the driving force. What is said is a direct window to your heart. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So what does this mean for us, and how we should seek, through prayer and the power of God's love, to lead our lives? Firstly, just as God has great compassion for us, so please, let us learn to have compassion for ourselves. Try to consider what you say as a health check. I know myself that when I start to get tired or anxious, my language deteriorates. If you find that you are getting short with others, using inappropriate language, starting to get tempted to get involved with rumors or gossip, Say things about people that you would never be able to say to their face. Pull back. Walk away. What you say is a window into your heart, and if what you say is not healthy, then take note that something is not right and needs attention. Just as pain, although really not welcome, is in fact a blessing, it is telling us that something is wrong and we need help. We need healing. So try to listen very carefully to what you say and become sensitive to viewing what you say as an indicator to your spiritual well-being. Give yourself some space. Stop. Offer the situation in prayer. Don't try to do it on your own. You don't have to. Try to believe that God is in that situation and offer it to him in prayer. I have often found myself getting quite out of shape, either worrying about a particular situation or not being able to see clearly where to begin to make sense of something. And I've had to stop for a second to slightly chastise myself for not doing as I preach. A small, real example of what is referred to in verse 1. But in stopping and just pulling over for a minute to offer that situation in prayer, it makes a difference. Does what we say and how we say it reflect that God is in our lives? Does what we say not only shine a light into our hearts, but that through God's compassion, love, and life-transforming grace, does what we say shine something of God's love for the world into the world? Does what we say show a sense of humility and discernment and inner peace based on a calm confidence that even in circumstances that we struggle to understand and indeed may involve confusion and pain, we still trust that God is somewhere in that space? And I so wish Ali was sat right over there, because she and her family were an extraordinary example of just that. An extraordinary witness that actually didn't involve any speaking. Trust God is God. Trust that he is in whatever situation you may find yourself in. But take time to seek him in that space and let what you say indicate that you believe that to be true. We have been blessed with the power of communication. So let us give thanks to God for giving us that sense of hope that comes from knowing something of his life-transforming grace by going out and changing our and our neighbor's environment by what we think and say. We can make a difference to people's lives, even in the smallest of encounters. They all matter, every single one of them. Everything we say matters. And remember, the tongue is so powerful that it is able to make even more impact when not used. Don't be uncomfortable with silence. Learn to be really comfortable in that space. And it's taken me a long time. It can at times be the most powerful response for healing and compassion. Does what we say reflect the love and forgiveness that God has shown us? And it does it show the person we're talking to that God loves them? It is not for us to judge. Let God do that. At the moment when we hide our brother's and sister's fault, God hides our own. And at the moment when we reveal a brother's and sister's fault, God reveals our own. So let us go out and give thanks to God for his love and compassion that he has shown us by bringing something of that healing power into the everyday encounters with our families and neighbours, by what we say, by tongue, text, email, gestures, and body language. Amen.
Now, the notice at the top of the bulletin reminds us today that very sadly, Rob and Susie and Max are sort of moving to pastures you, but not really. Rob, can you come and tell us exactly where you're going to be going and what exactly you're going to be doing?
Some of that I can't answer yet. This young man down here will know what I mean. I've yet to agree my working agreement. But Kempsford and Welford finding themselves without any ministry or presence at all. And we are so blessed here. We have an abundance of riches. And it just struck me that it wasn't right for me to remain here. And when I say me, I'm very conscious of the fact that it's not just me. You know, I need to publicly thank Susie and Max and Helena to a certain extent, but she's off on her way now. I'm selling signed autographs of my daughter later, by the way. You can, get them now while they're cheap. But for those of you who don't know, my daughter's going into musical theatre, and she's very beautiful. But Max and Susie have been really supportive because I sort of jump up, typical me, and say, that's it, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer myself to Kempsford and Welford to be some form of presence in that community. But of course, that involves Susie and Max, so they've been really very kind, and so I'm saying thank you to you both for allowing me to do that. But it, and I was saying to Peter and Elizabeth, you know, it's rooted in Scripture that we should view this as a wonderful complement to just the community we have here, that we have such an abundance of wealth and riches that we can afford to send people out or share our wealth with others to support them. And that's all the true Scripture, you know. The mother churches would send out brothers and sisters to other communities to help them and to support them. So I am sorry to go, but I am actually really rather excited. And I'm sure many of you will be too, that I'm going. And Andrew won't have to do this. Anyway, so thank you. Thank you for all your support, because there are many of you here who supported me and Susie and the family through quite a tough period, actually, through my training and a whole route of stuff going on during that time. But this is a flowering of all that support that you offered us, you know, that we can now go and do this. So thank you and God bless.
Come back. Can we have Max and Susie up, please? I think it'd be really good to show a bit of practical support and a bit of thanksgiving for what they've been doing. Now, Rob, we might find what's in this envelope quite helpful. You might like to spend it on yourself, possibly. You might like to share it with your family, possibly. And something for Susie.
Thank you so much.
We know behind every great man is a great woman, and it's definitely true in this situation. So, Susie, thank you so much for all that you've done for us, and every blessing as you move to your new ministry.
Thank you so much.
Come say something, Susie.
You have to to put the microphone even further down now. I'd just like to say an enormous, this is a completely a huge surprise. Thank you very, very much. But I'd just like to say a very, very big thank you to all our wonderful friends in Lechlade for all your love and prayers and kindness and support over the years. And to say that, you know, as Max keeps reminding me, we're not leaving, Mum. We are still living at Dudgrove, which, as it happens, and I don't know if Rob explained, but we actually do already live in the parish of Kempsford and Welford, and that was a key thing with the decision, really, is that it's somewhere that we actually already live. But Lechlade has been our church for many, many years, and in fact, I was actually baptised here as a baby, so it really is very much within our roots. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to be coming back as visitors to pray with you all and to share worship with you all on an occasional basis. We love you all lots, and you've all been absolutely fantastic. And thank you very, very much for all of this.
Just stay here. Stay here. Max, don't sit down. Come and join us. I'm simply going to invite us all to stand as a church family to support this couple and family in prayer. And if you'd like to come and lay hands upon them, it's a great sort of ministry of the church, then come and do that. You're very welcome. And we're going to pray for them as they do different things in a slightly different way, but they're very much part of us still. So let's pray for them. Father, we thank you that in your word you tell us that you have equipped us all with spiritual gifts. We thank you so much for Rob, for Susie, for Max and Helena. Lord, they have been through tough times over the past few years. But Lord, Father, thank you that you have sustained them, you have strengthened them, and you have given them hope and courage. And Lord, particularly for Rob as he moves now to this new ministry in the church in Kempsford and Welford, Lord, would you please guide him by your Holy Spirit? May he be a great encouragement, a great help to that church family. Would you speak powerfully through him and his ministry? Lord, we pray that very quickly new bonds would be made with the people there in that congregation. There'd be lots of trust and love and shared fellowship with one another. So, Father, they go out from this place with our blessing, with our love, and with our prayers. And we now bless them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. May God bless you together.